available. In harvesting, less is more. Never assume that you should lay in a huge stock of something. You are unlikely to use it all, and you'll end up throwing most of it out. Most Green Witch projects and charms take only a pinch or spoonful of an herb. It is essential to note in your Green Witch notebook what plant you are harvesting, where it is being harvested, the date, and how much you are taking. If you're not using the plant matter fresh, then it must be dried before you store it. Before drying, shake, brush, or wash off any dirt. To air dry it, lay the leaves or flowers out on an old screen or on cheesecloth and allow it to dry in a well-ventilated area. You can also bundle the stems together with an elastic band or string and hang the bunch indoors in a dry place with good air circulation, out of direct sunlight. Tuck a small card with the name of the herb in the bundle to help you identify the plant once it's dry. Don't leave a bundle of herbs hanging for too long, or it will become dusty. To protect it from dust, or if the stem plant has seeds or fragile bits that may fall off as it dries, slip it in a paper bag and secure the bag around the stems with string before hanging it to dry. To prepare a plant for storage, strip the leaves off the stems over a sheet of newspaper or a clean cloth. You can also dry plant matter in the oven. Chop up the stems roughly, then scatter pieces of stem, plus leaves and flowers, in a single layer on a baking sheet covered with parchment, and place it in a barely warm oven, 100 degrees Fahrenheit, with the door cracked open for an hour or two, depending on the thickness of the herb you're drying. Check frequently and remove dried matter, leaving the rest to continue drying. Opaque containers are best for storing herbs. Ceramic canisters with tight seals and dark glass jars are ideal. Keep an assortment of containers of various sizes on hand. Kitchen shops are a great source for jars, bowls, tins, mortars and pestles, and other useful Green Witch paraphernalia. You may also want to invest in a cutting board and chopping knives to be used specifically for your Green Witch work. If you wish to use the herbs like rosemary or peppermint fresh at a later date, you can pick them and store them in the freezer. For short-term storage, you can simply tumble sturdy leaves into a small paper bag, fold it over, and store it in the freezer door. Be sure to write the herb, the date, and where it was harvested on the bag. To keep herbs longer, rinse them under cold water, blot them dry with a paper towel, chop them roughly, and spread them on a baking sheet. Put the baking sheet in the freezer until the herbs have frozen, then store them in zip-top freezer bags. This method keeps the leaves separate. Mark the bag clearly with the name of the herb, the date, and where you harvested it. To use, simply open the bag and take out what you need. If leaves or flowers have frozen together, take the mass out and chop off what you need with a knife. To freeze individual portions for cooking magic, chop the plant finely and pack a teaspoon or tablespoon of the herb into each compartment of an ice cube tray. Run a bit of water into each compartment over the herb and freeze. When the herb cubes are frozen, pop them out and place them in zip-top bags. Again, mark the bags with the necessary information. Remember that when you harvest plant matter, an exchange of energy is required. This means that you must give something back in exchange for what you are taking. Bring along a bottle of water and offer the plant a few drops when you harvest some of it. Thank the plant for its kindness in sharing. Extracting the energies of herbs. Herbs and plant matter are most commonly prepared for use in an infusion, which you may better know as tea. Teas aren't used only for consumption, of course, which is why books on magical and spiritual applications use the word infusion. In this book, if I use the word tea, I'm referring to something you'll drink. If I use the word infusion, I'm talking about a liquid that you'll use in some other application. The basic preparation is known as a simple, which is a single herb preparation. This is the best and easiest way to access the energy of an individual plant, and the safest way to test new herbs for their effects. The following four methods explain how to extract and preserve the energies and benefits of various herbs. 1. Infusion is the process by which leaves and/or flowers are steeped for a period of time in water of a particular temperature. As the water cools, the herbal matter steeps. This is a gentle technique that allows the water to extract the benefits and energies from fragile herbal matter. An infusion creates the weakest extraction. 2. Decoction is the process by which denser herbal matter is boiled in water for a specific period of time. This technique is used for roots and twigs and bark. A decoction creates a slightly stronger extraction. 3. Enfleurage is the method by which oils and energies are extracted from herbal matter by soaking the herb in an oil or a fat, either heated or at room temperature. The result is an essential oil if the liquid is at room temperature, and a pomade if the result is a solid. Your oil will vary in strength depending on how long you saturate your herbal matter and how frequently you change the depleted herbal matter for fresh. Without professional equipment, it is difficult to make a perfume-grade essential oil with a strong scent at home. While scent is an important aesthetic element, its strength does not necessarily correspond to how much energy is held in the essential oil. A magical oil may not, therefore, have a strong scent. Essential oils are used externally. To avoid serious illness or accidental poisoning, never use a homemade essential oil internally. Only use medicinal-grade essential oils from a reputable company. 4. Maceration is the process by which herbal matter is steeped in a solvent such as vinegar, alcohol, or glycerin. The result is called a tincture. Tinctures are commonly used for medicinal purposes, usually by adding a few drops to a glass of water or spoonful of honey and consuming it. Tinctures can also be used magically. A tincture will last for many more years than the dried herb. A dried herb loses its flavor and magical potency after 1 to 3 years, whereas the tincture preserves the herbal extract. Other herbal preparations. In both medicine and magic, there are a variety of ways to apply herbal energies. The four methods previously described result in liquids of varying viscosity. To deliver those liquids in methods other than pouring or drinking them, they can be combined with another base to offer a more flexible application. The results of mixing these liquids with another base include the following possibilities. Salves are created by melting beeswax and adding a liquid extract, usually an oil, to it, then allowing it to cool. Infusions and decoctions are almost useless in preparing a salve because they aren't strong enough to carry the required energy or extract. Salves are rubbed into the body or an object. Liniments are liquids that are usually alcohol-based. A liniment is designed to be rubbed briskly on the body. Soaps. Take your liquid extracts and combine them with a base of fats designed to raise dirt from a surface, enabling it to be washed away. Magical soaps are particularly interesting because they can also pull negative or undesirable energy from an object and allow it to be washed away. A magical soap removes undesirable energies and leaves desired energies. Blessing your creations. Although everything has an innate energy and you empower every preparation or craft object you create with your intention, sometimes it's nice to seal or enhance the combined energies. Performing an elemental blessing upon an object can help dedicate it to the purpose you intend it for. It also sends a signal to your own psyche that your work is finished and is now performing the function for which it was designed. Elemental blessing. This blessing can be performed as the final step of any project or upon new objects or items intended for a shrine. In essence, this act purifies the object and then blesses it with positive energy. The following blessing is written with the assumption that the object you will bless is small enough to be held in your hands. If it is not, place it on or next to your workspace and adjust your actions accordingly. If you have previously cleansed the object you intend to bless, or if you have empowered it, you may skip steps 2 through 6. Small dish of salt or earth, or a small crystal or other stone. Stick of incense in a holder, or herbal incense and a self-lighting charcoal briquette in a heat-proof dish. Candle in candle holder. Small dish of water. Matches or a lighter. Object to be blessed. 1. Arrange each elemental symbol on your workspace, either in a square or in a line. Light the incense and the candle. Take 3 deep breaths to release stress so you can focus on your task. 2. Pick up the object with one hand or lay it on your workspace in front of you. With your other hand, take a pinch of the salt or earth and sprinkle it gently over the object, or take the crystal or stone in your hand and touch it to the object, saying, "By earth, I cleanse you." 3. Pick up the candle and pass it around the object in a counterclockwise direction, saying, "By fire I cleanse you." 4. Pick up the incense and pass it counterclockwise around the object, saying, "By air I cleanse you." 5. Touch your fingertips to the water and sprinkle it over the object, saying, "By water I cleanse you." 6. Close your eyes, take 3 slow breaths, and focus on the object. 7. Take another pinch of earth or salt and sprinkle it over the object, or touch the crystal or stone to it, saying, "You are blessed by earth." 8. Pass the object carefully over the candle flame, making sure not to burn yourself or the object, saying, "You are blessed by fire." 9. Pass the object through the smoke of the incense, saying, "You are blessed by air." 10. Touch your fingertips to the water and sprinkle it on the object, saying, "You are blessed by water." 11. Hold the object up in the air, or if it is too heavy, place your hands upon it where it lies, and say, "I ask the green spirit of the universe to bless this object in the name of earth and of all nature." Making herbal incense. If you use incense in stick form, then you are familiar with the sweet and gentle smoke created by lighting one end of the stick, gently blowing out the flame, and resting the stick in a censer or incense boat to smolder slowly. Herbal incense is a completely different experience. It is a wonderful method of experimenting with the bounty of nature. When you create your own herbal incense, you can mix and match the kinds of magical energies you wish to weave together, tailoring them precisely to your specific goal. You can make as much or as little as you like, empowering the blend with your own personal energy. Herbal incense must always be made with dried herbs. Fresh herbs will not burn correctly and will rot if you attempt to store them. If the only sample of the herb you wish to use in your blend is fresh, then spread the herb on a baking sheet and place it in a barely warm oven, 100 degrees Fahrenheit, for 45 minutes to an hour, watching it carefully. Alternatively, you can spread the herb in a single layer on a paper towel and microwave it for 30 seconds on high. Check to see how dry it is. You can microwave in 10-second increments for further drying. Some green witches, concerned that the microwave damages the herb's energy, recoil in horror at the idea of microwaving their herbs, whereas other green witches have no qualms about using modern equipment such as a microwave, a juicer, or an electric coffee grinder to prepare their magical supplies. It's your choice. As a modern green witch, use what you have at your disposal, as long as you feel comfortable with it. Test your herbs. Before you blend herbal incense, it's important to do some research to find out what kinds of herbs and flowers are best for your recipe. Before you mix and burn any herb or combination of herbs, it is important to look up the toxicity of each plant. If it's poisonous to touch or eat, chances are the smoke is also poisonous to breathe. Don't take chances. Once you have a short list of the herbs you'd like to use in your magical incense, take an hour or so to light a single charcoal briquette and drop a tiny pinch of each herb by itself onto the ignited surface. Burning herbal matter will not smell like the fresh herb. In fact, it usually smells like some sort of variation on burning leaves or grass clippings. Testing each herb alone will give you an idea of what it smells like. As it burns, make notes in your Green Witch journal about the smell, the density of the smoke, how quickly the herb is consumed, and what kind of energy you sense it giving off as it smolders. Also make a note of how you react physically to the herb. It is better to discover now in a test run that you react badly to a certain herb than when you're attempting to use it magically. Once you've tested each herb, you're ready to work with proportions. Do you want to add more of one herb and perhaps only a pinch of another? Much of the Green Witch's work is intuitive, which means that you'll feel drawn to something without necessarily having solid information or reasoning to support your feeling. Resins. One of the plain truths about using herbal incense is that it doesn't always smell as sweet as store-bought stick incense. Adding resin in an equal amount to your herbal blend will not only improve the incense's burn rate, but it will also provide a more agreeable base note to your burning incense. Resins have been used for centuries in various cultures as sweet-smelling offerings to the gods. They carry various magical associations, just as herbs do. Before adding one or more resins to an herbal blend, however, drop a single grain of the resin or a tiny pinch of powder onto a charcoal briquette to acquaint yourself with the scent of the resin on its own. Make notes in your journal as to the scent of the resin as it melts on the charcoal, the density of smoke it produces, the energy it gives off, and how it makes you feel. See instructions on how to use charcoal briquettes later on in this chapter. While the release of certain energies is the primary goal of green witch magic, aesthetics are also important. To that end, I advise using one or more of the following resins as a base for your herbal incense. Remember that the amount of resin should equal the total amount of herbal matter. Copal. This resin comes in various shades of white, gold, and black, and the scent is slightly different for each kind. Golden copal is most common, and if you pick up a packet marked simply copal, that's what it's likely to be. Copal is the petrified sap of the Bursera odorata, and has an appealing sweet scent that makes an excellent base for floral or lighter herbal incense blends. Copal carries an energy that is particularly good for love, house blessings, dedications, meditation, protection, celebration, solar energy, and creating sacred space. Frankincense. One of the most popular resins, the golden-toned frankincense, is the solidified sap of the Boswellia carterii tree, sometimes called the olibanum. It has a slightly spicy sweet scent and makes an excellent all-purpose base for just about any herbal incense. Frankincense is traditionally associated with sanctity, purification, meditation, protection, joy, celebration, solar energy, and consecration. Myrrh. Another common resin, myrrh is brownish and has a darker, slightly bittersweet scent. It comes from the Comephora myrrha, or gum myrrh tree, and carries the magical associations of sanctity, honoring the dead, and the spirit world, purification, and healing. Myrrh adds a bit of extra power to any herbal incense. Adding just a grain or two will do the job. Benzoin. This grayish resin is usually found in powdered form. It comes from the Styrax benzoin tree and has a light, clean, slightly sweet scent. It is excellent for purifying, healing, prosperity, and attraction in general. Styrax. Sometimes spelled storax, this black resin is a softer, earthier resin than those previously listed. It comes from the liquid ambar styracophlua tree. It is excellent for healing and grounding. Dragon's blood. This red resin is the petrified sap of the palm tree known as Demonorops draco, or the dragon's blood palm. It is one of the key ingredients in violin stain. It is remarkably sticky and will cling to your fingers and tools. Dragon's blood is frequently used for protection, purification, and as a general addition to your spells as an all-purpose power boost. Sandalwood. Often blended into herbal incenses or used as a base, sandalwood isn't technically a resin, but a powdered or shredded wood. Available both in red, Adenanthera pavonina, and white, Santalum album, sandalwood is generally associated with spirituality, purification, meditation, peace, healing, and protection. Resins are usually sold by weight in packets of rough grains or chips. Generally, it is best to powder your resin before blending it with your herbal matter. This will entail a bit of grinding on your part with a stone mortar and pestle. Wood is unsuitable for grinding resins, or using a small coffee grinder reserved only for grinding herbs and resins. The powdered resin will blend better with the dried herbs and yield a smoother burn. Blending herbal incense. When you create a recipe for herbal incense, look at the purpose for which you are creating it and select a combination of herbs and resins that will support that goal with their energies. For example, a prosperity incense may include one part benzoin as the resin base, with one part herbal blend of mint, basil, and cinnamon, all of which are associated with prosperity. Like other witches, green witches often like to work in multiples of three on top of their base ingredient. Three is a number associated with the goddess. You may also like to work with a multiple of four to honor the four elements. There's no firm rule, however, as to how many or how few resins or herbs to use in an incense. Use what you feel drawn to using. But remember that more is not necessarily better. The basic steps to blending herbal incense are simple. If necessary, gently grind the resin until the pieces are in small granules. Be careful not to overgrind them, or the heat produced by the mortar and pestle or coffee grinder will make the resin sticky. Crumble or powder the dried herbs and place them in the jar with the resin. Cap it and shake until the ingredients are well blended. Don't forget to write the final recipe in your journal, along with the magical purpose and the date on which you blended it, and label the container. To further enhance your herbal incense, you may add up to 3 drops of essential oil to the mixture before you cap and shake it. Again, consider your magical goal and choose an appropriate essential oil. You may use the oil of an herb or resin that is already a part of your blend to strengthen that particular scent, or another oil to add a different energy to the blend. Do not use more than 3 drops, or the incense will be too wet to burn. Once your herbal incense is blended, you may use it right away, or leave it to sit and allow the energies to blend for a week or so before using it. Empowering herbal incense. You can use the incense as it is. However, like any other magical craft or preparation, empowering the incense will weave the energies together better and focus them specifically upon your magical goal. There are 2 ways to empower your herbal incense. Most green witches employ them both. The first is to visualize your magical goal as you grind and blend each herb and resin. This method allows you to program each component separately. The second method is as follows. 1. Hold the jar of finished incense in your hands. Take 3 deep breaths to focus. Think of your magical goal. 2. Visualize a sparkling light forming around the jar in your hands. This sparkling light is the energy that empowers the incense, the energy associated with your magical goal. 3. Imagine the sparkling light being absorbed into the blend of resins and herbs. The herbal incense has now been energized with your magical goal. It is empowered for that use. Burning herbal incense. Herbal incense is burned on small, round charcoal briquettes that are available at New Age and religious supply shops. To burn herbal incense, you will require the following 3 things. 1. A small, round briquette of self-igniting charcoal. This is not barbecue charcoal. 2. A heat-proof sensor with a layer of sand or earth in it. 3. A lighter or long-stemmed matches. Self-igniting charcoal briquettes come in various sizes. I don't recommend the half-inch size, as they are easy to smother with a spoonful of incense, and prone to falling apart or exploding if not handled correctly. I recommend buying the 1-inch briquettes and using half a briquette at a time. You really don't need a whole briquette for a single spoonful of herbal incense. A briquette will burn for 45 minutes to an hour, and burning a spoonful of herbal incense doesn't take long at all. Caution. Never, ever use outdoor barbecue charcoal, as it releases dangerous fumes that can be fatal when used indoors or in a poorly ventilated space. A single spoonful of incense is usually all you'll need to release its energy into your space. A scant teaspoonful sprinkled on a glowing charcoal will release a cloud of smoke. Unlike stick incense, herbal incense burns all at once until it is gone, and thus releases more smoke and scent over a shorter period of time. The energy and scent linger in the space, however, so there's no need to keep piling on the incense blend to produce a steady supply of smoke. If you try to burn too much incense, the room will become too smoky, and it's likely to set off your smoke detector. With herbal incense, a little goes a long way. When you use herbal incense, you're actually smoldering it, not burning it. There's no flame involved. The bits of resin melt and the herbal matter turns black and crackles away. If you choose to use matches to light the charcoal, long-stemmed matches are preferable because short safety matches burn down too quickly. A long-handled barbecue lighter is ideal for lighting charcoal briquettes. Although there are a few brave souls who hold the charcoal with fingers while they light it, I don't recommend this for obvious safety reasons. The best way to light charcoal is to hold it in one hand with a pair of tweezers or a small pair of tongs while you apply the flame to the charcoal with your other hand. Hold the flame to the edge of the briquette, and as it catches fire, it will begin to sparkle. If your charcoal is particularly quick, those sparkles will begin to move across the surface of the briquette, firing the rest of the surface. If your charcoal is very densely made or slightly damp because of humidity in the environment, you may have to hold the flame to different areas to light as many as possible before they combine to ignite the rest of the briquette. Remember that your tweezers or tongs are metal and will conduct the heat of the charcoal briquette once it begins to ignite. When the briquette has fully ignited, lay it down carefully on a layer of sand or earth in your sensor. You can use almost any heat-proof dish as a sensor, as long as it has a layer of material to absorb the heat of the charcoal. To be on the safe side, you can put a trivet or heat-proof coaster under your sensor to protect your table or altar from heat damage. Wait until the sparkles have finished coursing across the surface of the briquette and the surface has begun to glow faintly red. At this point, your charcoal is ready to receive a teaspoonful of herbal incense or a pinch of resin. Some people prefer to wait until there is a thin layer of gray ash on top of the briquette before sprinkling incense on it. Don't just pile a heaping spoonful of the herbal incense on the charcoal briquette. Sprinkle it gently, visualizing the goal for which you've created the blend. A solid chunk of incense can smother the charcoal briquette. When the incense has finished burning, you can wait 15 or 20 minutes for the smoke to dissipate a bit, then sprinkle another half teaspoon of incense on the charcoal. When this is burned away, leave the charcoal to burn out on its own. It will turn to gray ash. Allow this ash to cool, then stir it gently into the sand or earth in your sensor. Keeping a small bottle of water or a second bowl of earth or sand nearby to smother the charcoal and incense should it somehow get out of control is always an intelligent precaution. Storing herbal incense. When you make your first trial batch of herbal incense, make it in a small quantity so that if you don't like it, you won't be stuck with a whole bottle of the stuff. Mark down the proportions of the recipe so that if you like it, you can increase it easily. I keep my herbal incense in small spice jars in a dark cupboard. I also use 4-ounce, 125-milliliter canning jars. Baby food jars are also ideal, so if you have a child or know someone who does, ask for empty jars, wash them well, and make sure they're completely dry before you use them. Always make sure to clearly label the jar. Write the name of the incense and the date on the cap with a grease pencil or on a self-stick label. No matter how firmly you believe that you'll remember exactly what the blend is for by the scent or the look of the incense, I guarantee that you won't. The date is important because you will be able to look at your Green Witch journal and see what else was going on when you blended that incense, and perhaps exactly what inspired the blend in the first place. 3 to 5 years from now, you'll know that you have to make up a fresh batch for magical use and throw the old one out, or use the old one for perfume properties only. Suggested recipes for the 7 central energies of the Green Witch. Happiness. Frankincense, lemon, orange. Harmony. Lavender, white sandalwood powder, jasmine. Health. Myrrh, benzoin, hyssop, eucalyptus. Love. Copal, rose, jasmine, cinnamon. Peace, frankincense, lavender, violet. Prosperity, frankincense, pine, basil, mint, cinnamon. Protection, dragon's blood, rosemary, clove. Create spell bags. Spell bags, which are small fabric bags into which you place a variety of objects and items chosen for their magical associations, are used in various magical applications. Spell bags can be made in any size and used anywhere. You can hang one above the door, tuck one into your car's glove compartment, tuck them in drawers, handbags, hang them on bedposts. The only limit is your imagination. Here is a basic small protection charm project. Use it as a basis for creating your own spell bags. Protection charm. This spell bag is designed to be hung above your front or back door, whichever is used more frequently. 2 3-by-5-inch pieces of red or black fabric. Iron, optional. Thread to match. Needle. Pins. 1 12-inch length of red yarn or narrow ribbon. 1 snowflake obsidian. 1 teaspoon caraway seeds. 1 teaspoon mugwort. Pinch of salt. 1. Make a small hem along one of the short sides of the fabric rectangle as follows. Fold the edge of one of the 3-inch long sides of one cloth rectangle down 1/4 inch, wrong side to wrong side, and press into place with your fingers or the iron. Using a running stitch, sew the edge down. Repeat on the other piece of cloth. 2. Place the cloth rectangles face to face, right side to right side, matching edges. The folded edge will be facing out on both. Pin into place. 3. Using a running stitch, sew along the 3 raw edges of the rectangle. Leave the side with the hems open. Turn the pouch right side out. 4. Fold the yarn or ribbon in half. Secure the fold to the outside of one of the side seams of the pouch with a couple of small stitches. 5. Into this small pouch, place the snowflake obsidian and the herbs. 6. Tie the spell bag shut with the yarn or ribbon. Hang from a small nail above your door. By using a tie on the spell bag, you can open it and add other items as needed to supplement the magical energy. Spell bags can also be sewn shut, like small pillows, although if this is done, they should not be opened. If there comes a time when the spell bag is no longer required, or if the usefulness is past, then undo or unpick the spell bag and separate the items inside. Dispose of them separately, adding the herbs to your garden or compost. Craft a dream pillow. Another form of spell bag, the dream pillow allows the gentle energies of the herbs to interact with your own energy while you sleep. Tuck the dream pillow under your bed pillow, hang it on your bedpost, or set it on your bedside table. Made on a larger scale, dream pillows can become herbal pillows. When making dream or herb pillows, the amount of magic you apply is up to you. An ideal way to reinforce the magical goal of the herbs in the dream pillow is to choose cloth of an appropriate color you associate with the magical goal. If you add a ribbon to the pillow for hanging, choose an appropriate length to slip over the bedpost or hang on a nail in the wall by your bed. Sweet Dreams Pillow. This pillow is designed to encourage relaxation and soothe restless sleep. 1 tablespoon violets. 1 tablespoon spearmint. 2 tablespoons lavender. Small bowl. 1 8x4-inch rectangle of cloth, your choice of color. Thread to match. Pins. Needle. Iron, optional. Cotton batting, about the size of your fist, or 2 4x4-inch squares. Ribbon, optional. For length, see previous paragraph. 1. Blend the herbs in the bowl with your fingertips. 2. Fold the rectangle of cloth over onto itself so that you have a square of doubled material. If you are using a fabric with a design, make sure the design is on the inside. Pin the 2 halves together. 3. Using a running stitch, sew along 2 of the 3 open sides of the fabric square, leaving one side open. 4. Fold approximately 1/4 inch of the raw edge of the open side down on what is currently the outside of the pouch. Finger press the edge so that it stays creased, or use the iron. Turn the fabric pouch right side out so that the seams are to the inside. The raw edge of the pressed side should be inside the pouch. 5. Tease out your cotton or cotton batting so it is fluffier and larger. Place the herbs in the center of the cotton and fold the edges inward so that the herbs are rolled inside the cotton. If the cotton batting is flat, lay one of the squares down, pour the herbs in the middle, lay the second square on top, and secure all 4 sides with a running stitch. 6. Tuck the herbs in the cotton batting inside the fabric pouch. Pin the open side closed. If you are adding a ribbon hanger, fold your piece of ribbon and insert the ends into the open side of the pouch and pin them into place. Sew the pillow closed with a running stitch, sewing the ribbon into place as you go. 7. Tuck your new dream pillow under your bed pillow, or place next to your pillow before you sleep. You can increase the size of this pillow. The larger you make it, however, the more cotton batting you will need to protect the herbs inside. You may use as many or as few herbs as you like. Here are some suggested blends for dream pillows. Peace, lavender, poppy, gardenia. Harmony, chamomile, violet, calendula. Happiness, honeysuckle, sunflower. Love, rose, jasmine, gardenia. Health, eucalyptus, nutmeg, carnation. Prosperity, cinnamon, orange, basil. Protection, geranium, sage, clove. Garden spell bags. This type of bag is separate from the general spell bags because it calls for a slightly different approach. Because a garden spell bag is designed to decompose and fall apart, it requires a different set of ingredients and supplies. A garden spell bag is a charm designed to be hung outside or buried in a particular place. These bags are generally made for protection of the property, protection for a particular area on the property, such as a special plant or bed, or to increase the fertility of the garden in general. Because these bags are hung outdoors in the elements, they're generally small. This is for convenience as well as aesthetics. As the bag decomposes, the herbs you stuffed in it start falling out of it. Herbs falling out of a large bag would become untidy. A smaller spell bag ensures less of a mess, as well as a lower profile charm. If you want to make a larger protective charm of some kind, think about a stepping stone, see later in this chapter, or something made of a more permanent material. Another reason to keep this garden charm smaller than a regular spell bag or dream pillow is that you will be filling it completely with herbs, not using batting or stuffing. To make the charm, cut out two squares or rectangles and sew them together, as directed in the dream pillow section. Eliminate the stuffing or batting, and simply fill the bag with herbs. Sew the last side shut, adding a hanger as directed in the dream pillow project, or a ribbon tie as in the spell bag, and hang it in an appropriate place outdoors. When you design a garden spell bag, be sure to select a material woven of natural fibers, preferably 100% cotton, although wool and silk are acceptable. Natural fiber will ensure that the material decomposes completely and without damage to the environment. You can choose the color according to your magical intention or use a neutral color, like white or unbleached cotton. Remember, however, that the rain will soak the pillow and the herbs inside will stain the fabric. The sun will also bleach it, affecting the color almost immediately. Do not, therefore, expect your garden charm to look beautiful for more than a few days. The processes of bleaching or staining and decomposition are part of the magic. The gradual destruction of the physical charm releases the energy. When the fabric has worn through, you can choose to bury the bag in a selected spot or in your compost heap. Replacing garden charms can become part of your regular magical maintenance of your garden space. You can either make the same spell bag and write down the new date in your Greenwich journal so that you keep track of how often you have to replace the charm, or you can evaluate your garden's current needs and design a new one, again noting the date and new supplies you use and why. If you add a stone to your garden spell bag, you may choose to bury it with the rest of the remains or to reuse it in your next charm. Reusing the stone is a nice way to maintain continuity with the energy of your garden, even if the herbs you use are different. Do not include metal charms or add non-biodegradable substances to the herbal mixture, as they can poison the garden. Make a broom. In Chapter 2, you learned how to use a broom to purify an area. Finding a natural bristle broom can be a challenge, but there's no need to despair. Making her own tools is a time-honored practice for a witch of any kind, and making a broom is particularly easy. Create a twig broom. Gather twigs and a longer stick from below the trees where you live so your broom is a tool tied into the energy of your particular geographic location. Mixed with your own personal energy, this natural energy will create a broom vibrating with green witch power. Try to identify the trees from which you gather your twigs. The more you know about your supplies, the more tuned in to their energy you'll be. If you have trees on your own land, save twigs and a long stick during your annual pruning. Otherwise, you can usually walk residential streets in the fall and gather twigs from the piles of pruned material lying on the curbside for rubbish pickup. Ask the residents permission to take the branches and twigs if they're lying on private property. If the wood you pick up is wet, allow it to dry in a protected, ventilated space, such as a garage or your basement, for a couple of weeks. When making a broom, it is important to wind the leather tightly around the twigs. The tension is part of what keeps the twigs on the end of the broom. Work gloves, optional. Newspaper. One stout stick, approximately 5 feet long, between 3/4 and 1 inch in diameter. Saw, optional. Sandpaper. Twigs approximately 18 inches long, no thicker than 1/4 inch each, enough to make a 3-inch pile when you gather them together in your hands. Wood glue. Leather strip or cord, 5 feet long, at least 3/4 inch wide. 4 finishing nails. Hammer. 1. Cover your work area with newspaper. 2. Take the 5-foot stick and decide which end will be the top of the handle and which end will be the sweeping end. If the stick has bark on it, decide whether you wish to strip it off or keep it on. If you're using a branch broken off a tree, you may wish to saw the top end flat. Sand the top end of the handle so that no sharp edges or splinters remain. 3. Sort through the pile of smaller sticks and cut or break off any that have other twigs sticking out at odd angles. With the saw, trim them all to roughly 18 inches long. 4. Take one of the thicker twigs and set it against the bottom end of the broom's handle. Overlap the ends of the twig and the broom handle so that approximately 5 to 6 inches of the twig is lying against the bottom 5 inches of the broom. The twig will extend about a foot past the end of the broom. Dot wood glue along those overlapping 5 inches and press the twig against the broom. Laying one end of the leather strip across the twig, add a drop of wood glue to secure it to the wood. Holding it together firmly, hammer one of the finishing nails through the leather strip and the twig into the broom. 5. Spread a thin layer of glue around the bottom 5 inches of the broom and begin to add additional 18-inch twigs, overlapping the top 5 to 6 inches of each twig against the bottom 5 inches of the broom. Place the second twig over the leather strip, then the next twig under it. Make sure you maintain a consistent tension on the leather strip. 6. When you reach the first twig again, dot some more glue along the top 5 inches of the first layer of twigs and continue adding more twigs, still alternating the leather strip above and below twigs. Remember to keep the twigs wrapped tight. Don't worry about making sure the ends of the twigs are perfectly even. This is a handmade broom and a tool of magic designed to sweep air and energy, not an even floor. It doesn't have to be perfect. 7. When you have reached the halfway point of the second layer, opposite where you started, hold the leather taut and hammer a second finishing nail through it and the twig into the first layer of twigs and the handle below. Continue adding twigs. 8. Continue adding the twigs to the broom, dotting more wood glue along the tops of the twigs as you begin another layer. Keep winding the leather over and under the twigs. 9. When you are satisfied with the thickness of the twig end of the broom, or when you come to the end of your pile of twigs, hammer another nail into the leather and the twigs through to the broom handle. Dot more glue along the inside of the rest of the leather strip and wrap the leather around and around the twigs. Pull it tight. Secure the end of the leather with a final dot of glue and one final nail. 10. Allow the broom to rest flat, not dangling, on a table or floor for at least 36 hours, or until the glue has completely dried. If you wish to further decorate your broom by winding leather around the handle, adding feathers or shells or stones, or by carving it, do so when the glue is dry. 11. Before you use your new magical broom for the first time, empower it by holding it in your hands and visualizing a sparkling white light glowing around it. See the sparkling energy being absorbed into the broom. If you like, you may further bless it with the four elements. See the elemental blessing in this chapter. Craft balms or perfumes. This magical craft takes an essential oil of your choice and makes it a solid balm, which can be used as a magical perfume. The term balm indicates comfort of some kind, as well as a solid substance that melts when applied to the warmth of the skin. It is important to remember that balms are magical in nature, which means that the energies of the oils act upon the energy of the individual who uses them. Make sure the jar, tin, or container you use to contain the bomb has a wide enough mouth for you to reach inside with your fingers. Choose a container that isn't too deep, and make sure that the lid closes tightly to preserve the contents as long as possible. Also, be sure to carefully research the oils you wish to use. You don't want to use too much of an oil like cinnamon that can irritate your skin. Always consider your skin's sensitivity. When applying the bomb, use only a small amount. Scoop up a bit on your fingertip and rub it gently with a circular motion on the area where you wish to apply it. Do not allow the bomb to come in contact with your eyes. Wash your hands after you have used the bomb or after the ritual activity you wish to be enhanced by the bomb. In the summer, keep your bomb in the fridge for a cooling sensation when you apply it. Bombs should not be applied to the skin of children. Magical bomb. Remember to label the tin or container clearly with the name of the bomb. Write the recipe in your Green Witch journal. 1.5 teaspoons beeswax beads. 1/4 cup sweet almond oil or jojoba oil. Small, clean, empty can. Saucepan and water. 5 to 9 drops essential oils of your choice. 1 teaspoon vitamin E oil, optional. Small jar or container. 1. Place the beeswax beads and the almond or jojoba oil in the small, clean can. Do not cover the can. Place the can in a saucepan filled approximately half full with water. This creates a double boiler and keeps the flammable oils from coming into contact with flame or heating coils. Set the saucepan on the stove over medium heat and allow the heat of the water to melt the beeswax and almond or jojoba oil. 2. Remove the saucepan from the stove. Wearing oven mitts to protect your hands, remove the can from the water bath. Swirl in the drops of essential oil and the vitamin E oil. As you do this, empower the mixture with your magical intent. 3. Allow the mixture to cool slightly. As it cools, the surface will solidify. Using a chopstick or a popsicle stick, stir it gently to recombine the solid with the liquid. As you stir, reinforce your magical intent. 4. When the mixture has cooled but before it is completely solid, pour it into the clean jar or container and seal it. Label it with the contents and the date. 5. To use the bomb, scoop a small amount onto a fingertip and smooth onto your skin. Here are some suggestions for bombs. For a meditation bomb, use 3 drops of lavender, 3 drops of sandalwood, and 2 drops of violet. Rub a small amount into your temples and the inside of your wrists. This is also an excellent blend to use for relaxation and to aid sleep, and it thus doubles as a peace and harmony bomb. For a purification bomb, use 2 drops of lavender oil, 3 drops of frankincense, and 3 drops of jasmine. Dot a small amount on your third eye, in the center of your forehead, on your chest, and on the solar plexus. Use whenever you wish to clear negative emotion or energy from your emotional or physical body. For a love bomb, use 3 drops of rose oil, 3 drops of jasmine, 2 drops of lavender oil, and 1 drop of vanilla oil. Dot on the inside of your wrists, over your heart, at the nape of your neck, and behind your knees. Note that this bomb is a general love blend. It can be used for self-love and affection, as well as any other sort of purpose associated with love. For an abundance bomb, use 1 drop of cinnamon, 2 drops of orange, 3 drops of mint, and 2 drops of pine. Rub a small amount in the palms of your hands and on the soles of your feet. For a healing bomb, use 2 drops of rosemary, 2 drops of eucalyptus, 2 drops of myrrh, and 2 drops of sandalwood. This bomb can be used for spiritual, emotional, and physical healing. This is particularly good used on the chest or back. Avoid using this bomb near eyes or mucous membranes, or on thin or sensitive skin, because rosemary and eucalyptus can irritate. For a happiness bomb, use 1 drop of lime oil, 2 drops of lemon oil, 2 drops of rose oil, and 2 drops of lavender oil. Apply to the wrists or the back of the hands, the knees, the feet, and over your heart. For a bright, citrus-based happiness bomb, use 2 drops of lime oil, 2 drops of lemon oil, 2 drops of orange oil, and 2 drops of bergamot oil. build garden stepping stones. This magical craft incorporates herbs, gems, or crystals, and any other natural element you wish to include. Following are two different kinds of stepping stones. The first calls for you to mix and pour your own concrete. The second uses a pre-made concrete or stone slab purchased from a garden center. Each method produces a different magical stepping stone, but with imagination, you can substitute one set of magical supplies for the other, or come up with your own combinations for your own goals. Once your stepping stone is decorated and varnished, keep it inside for another week to ensure that it has completely cured. During the pouring process and while the stone is drying, do not move the mold. When you place your stepping stone outside, consider carefully the area best suited for it. While these are commonly called stepping stones, they are often very unsuitable for being actually walked on because of the raised decoration set into them and the detail you may put into embellishing them. Placing them in a garden near a patio or walkway where they can be seen but not disturbed is often the best choice. Although these stepping stones are theoretically weatherproof, to avoid crumbling or breakage, you may wish to bring them inside for storage if you live in a climate with a severe winter. Inspect your stepping stone every couple of weeks or so to see how it's holding up to the elements. If you use too much water in your concrete mix, the stepping stone may slowly crumble away. If that happens, make a note in your Green Witch journal to use less water next time, and declare this stepping stone to be a time-release spell. When it has degraded beyond recognition, or to a point where you no longer wish to display it, then remove it with respect, thank it for its work, and dispose of it in the trash. Do not bury it, as not all the supplies you may use will be biodegradable. Protective stepping stone. Place this stone in your garden or by your front door to extend its protective energy to the area. This magical craft is best done outside, and it's best to wear an apron over your work clothes. While it will only take approximately 2 hours to make the basic stone, it will take at least 3 days for it to dry. Newspaper. Rubber gloves. 1 1-foot by 1-foot piece of screening. Aluminum foil pie plate, at least 2 inches deep. 1 tablespoon each of 3 protective herbs, your choice, try angelica, rosemary, and cloves. Paint stirrer. Small bag of concrete mix, quick setting or a special stepping stone blend. Bucket. Water. Measuring cup. Old serving spoon, optional. 4 obsidian stones in the shape of arrowheads. Twig or popsicle stick, optional. Acrylic paints and brushes, optional. Clear varnish, a spray varnish is easiest, optional. 1. Spread the newspaper over your work surface to protect it. 2. Put on the rubber gloves and cut the screening to fit inside your pie plate. The screening will serve to reinforce your stepping stone once the stone is dry. 3. Blend the herbs together and set them aside. 4. Use the paint stirrer to mix the concrete powder with the water in the bucket. A proportion of 5 parts concrete to 1 part water generally works well, but read the directions on your bag. Add more powder to thicken it, more water to thin it. The mixture should be thick and wet, but not splashy, more like drop cookie dough than cake batter. Do not make up the entire bag. Use only as much as you think you'll need to fill the pie plate, with a bit extra just to make sure. 5. Pour or spoon the concrete into the aluminum pie plate, the mold, filling it approximately half full. Tap the mold to release any air bubbles, and use the stirrer to smooth the concrete out. 6. Lay the screening on top of the concrete in the mold. Pour more concrete on top of the screening, filling the mold approximately 2/3 full. Tap the mold again to release any air bubbles. 7. Sprinkle the herbs on top of the concrete, visualizing their protective energy spreading through the concrete. 8. Pour more concrete on top of the herbs, filling the mold completely. Tap the mold 1/3 magical time to release any air bubbles. 9. Leave the mold to rest for approximately 30 minutes to 1 hour. Check the instructions on your bag of concrete mix. This will allow it to set slightly and give you a firmer surface into which to press the stones. 10. Place the four obsidian stones in a starburst shape in the middle of the stone, with the flat ends forming a square in the center and the points facing the edge of the circle. Firmly press them into the surface of the concrete. As you do, visualize the arrows repelling any negativity that approaches the stone. 11. If you desire, use a twig or a popsicle stick to draw symbols or write words on the surface of the stone. 12. Now set the stepping stone aside in a safe place to cure for at least 2 days, preferably 3. Again, verify the instructions on your bag of concrete. You may want to leave it longer to be on the safe side so your stone won't crumble if you take it out of the mold before it has completely dried. 13. Pop the stone out of the mold by turning it over and placing it on the newspaper-protected surface. Gently loosen the sides and peel the aluminum pie plate away from the stone. Turn the stone over so that the obsidian starburst is on top. 14. If you choose, you may paint the stone. Once the paints have dried, coat all sides of the stone with a clear varnish to protect the surface. Happiness Stepping Stone. This stone attracts joy and laughter. Place it by your front door to invite this energy into your home. With this project, it is best to use a small precast stone as a base, because you'll be covering the entire surface with your chosen gems and crystals. This technique uses mortar and grout to affix the decorations to the precast stone. Blank paper larger than the precast stepping stone. Pencil. Plain precast concrete garden stepping stone. A selection of tumbled gems and stones such as citrine, tiger's eye, moonstone, sodalite, or rose quartz. Heavy rubber gloves. Bucket or clean plastic ice cream container. Thin set mortar. Paint stirrer. Water. Mortar trowel. Tile grout. Old rubber spatula. Sponge. Soft cloth. 1. Trace the stepping stone on the blank paper, then set the stepping stone aside. On the paper, arrange the gems and stones in a pleasing pattern inside the outline of the stepping stone. Use enough stones to fill the outline almost completely, but the gems should not quite touch each other. Set the paper and stones carefully aside. 2. Rinse the blank stepping stone in water to remove any dirt. Washing it under the garden hose will work well. 3. Put on the rubber gloves. In the bucket, mix the thin-set mortar according to the package directions. Do not mix up the entire package. Blend only as much as you think you'll need for this project, with a little bit left over just to be sure. You'll need to cover the surface of your precast stone to a depth of approximately 1/2 inch. 4. Using the trowel, spread a 1/4 to 1/2 inch layer of mortar over the damp surface of the stepping stone. The depth will depend on the size of your gems. The larger the gemstones, the deeper the mortar must be to hold them securely. 5. Preserving your pattern, carefully transfer the stones from the paper to the mortared surface of the stone, pressing them into the mortar so that they lie relatively evenly. Make sure that you leave a bit of space between gems for the grout. 6. Set the stone in a safe place to cure for at least 12 hours. Wash out the bucket you used for the mortar. 7. Put on the rubber gloves again. In the clean bucket, mix the grout according to the package directions. Again, do not mix the entire package. Mix only enough to cover the stone to a depth of approximately 1/2 inch, plus a little extra to be sure. 8. Scoop the grout onto the surface of the gems and smooth it out with the spatula. Make sure you work the grout in carefully between the gems. Spread grout on the sides of the stone as well. When you are finished, use the spatula to smooth the top of the stone to remove any excess grout. 9. Using a damp sponge, gently wipe any remaining grout off the top of the stone and the gems. Wipe from the middle out and across to be sure that all the grout is smoothed down between the gems as well as washed off the tops of them. Rinse the sponge frequently to keep it clean and damp. Be careful not to wash or scrub away the grout between the gems. 10. Leave the stone to dry for approximately 24 hours. Polish it with a soft cloth. Chapter